I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 36. I'm going to read down to verse number 46. Book of Matthew, chapter 26, 36 to 46. How's that grab you? Let's begin reading in that verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with him into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." I don't believe any of us have ever felt what Jesus must have felt in this hour. I don't believe any of us have ever experienced what he must have experienced in that hour. May God tonight, would you help us to learn from this? God, apply some things to our hearts. Strengthen us together around the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to hear or to have heard the sound of Jesus' voice? The book of Revelation talks about it as the sound of many waters. What a fantastic thing to have had that privilege and opportunity. What would it have been like to hear Him preach the truths of the Word of God, the Master of all masters in the realm of teaching and preaching, but to have heard Him? We read, but what would it have been like to have heard that? What would it have been like to hear Him cast out a demon, or to have been there when He said, Lazarus, come forth? Oh, what would that have been like? What would have been like? Now think about this one. What would have been like to have been invited to this prayer meeting? To come and to pray with the Lord Jesus Christ and hear Him in His most severe hour cry out to His Heavenly Father. What would that have been like? Some amazing thoughts, I believe, can be had as we glean from this passage and allow God to speak to us. I look and I find a number of things that just really well up within me. I believe we find here that this was a time of great, wondrous need in His life. As we find here, He reveals that the temptation was on the horizon. Notice when we read verse 41 again, He says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Remember, He's called here in this text the Son of Man, as opposed to the Son of God, helping us to understand that He is indeed God, but He's also man. His soul is being bombarded by His body that cries out for self-protection. If I were to take a match and light it near your hand, you will pull it away immediately. If you see something about to hurt you, you're going to get out of the way as quickly as possible. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in this moment where death is staring Him in the eye. And quite frankly, our bodies, they are self-protecting. But oh, listen, we need to understand His spirit indeed was willing. And His prayer here is of yielding to His Father's will. Think about it, verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. He is saying to God, it's not up to me. And he has yielded himself to his Father's will. We know that God empowered him to handle this ordeal. We know he empowered him to handle the cross of Calvary. We know that he not only empowered him for that, but for the grave that awaited afterwards. And up from the grave he did arise. Amen. How thankful we are for a Savior that had that power over sin and death and had power over the grave. But we do find the disciples were sleeping. They were not sorrowful as Jesus. We find he mentions here that he was in a very sorrowful state, exceedingly sorrowful, as it says in verse 38. And they did not enter into prayer really with him. And so Jesus, as he comes back to him, and it just says he went a little farther. I don't know how far that was, but it says little. So listen, the words are given to us here. I think perhaps they got to hear him speak some. Certainly the Holy Spirit of God brought that back to them. But the words are, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I imagine most of us, if we get really honest with ourselves, don't pray too often throughout a day. And maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. But God has says, the Lord Jesus, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I got to thinking about that. I got to think about this. My Savior right now is in an intercessory prayer on your behalf and on my behalf. He is at the throne of God interceding for you and for me. And I think about that and I think about this text and it comes into my heart. What could we not watch with Him 1 hour? Could we not enter into this wondrous prayer with our Lord and Savior? Could we not do that? He invites, I believe, us in many places in the Word of God to join with Him in this thing of prayer. If we're going to truly join with Him, then I believe it needs to be with His heart. Let me read verse 38 again. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Isaiah chapter 57. In fact, I really would like for you to turn to that. Isaiah chapter 57, because I'd like for you to just really look at it and kind of view that as we go on from this point. Chapter 57 and verse number 15. We'll not go into the context and what all it has to say there, but let's look at that verse for just a moment. Isaiah 57, verse number 15, and it says this, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Now let's listen to who it's talking about. And here is the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. We're talking about the God of glory whose name is holy. Now notice what he says. I dwell in the high and holy place. Notice with who? It is so important for us here to understand this. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For well over a year, it's been a prayer of mine that God would send revival to Open Door Baptist Church. I believe that there has been individual revivals, but I don't believe, unless I'm blind, that we have yet to see corporate revival. But I think that God tells us something here that is very, very important, because He tells us here whom He will revive. And it's very, very important we see that. Who He will revive, who He will dwell with. Though He live in a place that be high, the people He wants to dwell with are low. Notice what he says about them. Those who are of a contrite. Did you catch that? A contrite spirit. That word contrite really is conveying the idea to us of being ground to a powder. Now let me ask you something. Can you put powder into any container? Will it flow? Will it do? Will it be one that can be molded into many different shapes? But if we're hard, we have one shape. Is that not true? And it's not moldable and it's not pliable. And so the Lord wants you and I of a contrite spirit, that which is willing and allowable to God to grind us. And when He's done with that, there's something amazing that takes place. We are not recognizable from before. Though we have the same elements, though it be the same stuff that is there, it is of a different shape. God is wanting to dwell with those who are not stiff to Him, but those who are moldable by Him. It isn't about our authority. I find that there's two or three things that really are a problem in this area of having that contrite spirit, because we want to have it our way. We want to be our authority. We want to call the shots. We want to say, hey, this is what we want in our life. But it isn't about our authority. It's about His. One of the things we heard this week, and I appreciate it so greatly, and many of our young folks picked up on it. In fact, all of us, I believe, did. And that is that we have authorities over us. Not only is God our authority, but God places authorities over us. It's very obvious in a home that the final authority is the father. By the way, mama's an authority too, because it talks about the mother bearing some rule in that home, but not over the father. And we find that there is authority in churches. We find that there's authority in government. There's authority wherever we go. And if we're not willing to allow the authority that God has over us and the authorities that God places over us to have that way, we are not of a contrite spirit. It isn't about what others think of us. You know, quite seriously, we have a pride issue. And when we are more concerned about what others think of us, their opinion of us, it's more important what we think about Christ. I appreciate what Lori said tonight as she mentioned she wants people to see Jesus. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. That we might be a people who are concerned about Him. Our thoughts are upon Him. And we want Him to have the glory. It's not about us. It's not about that. It's not what people think of me. It's not what people think of you. It's what we all consider about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another area. God gave me some Scripture on this that really I never considered before. It isn't being critical of others, but being critical of ourselves. Matthew, I know I told you to stay in Isaiah. Chapter number 7. You've seen this. But let me share something with you. Matthew chapter 7, it says, as judge not. In other words, don't be critical. That ye be not judged. I guarantee if you get critical, you'll have people critical to you. It just works that way. Notice what he says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Right? Notice verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? I want you to notice what verse 5 says. Thou what? Hypocrite. That is not a favorable expression from our Savior. It is not something that the Lord looks at with delight. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou clearly see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let me share with you what we have. Let me share with you what takes place in your heart and mind oftentimes, and why we have a problem with this. I looked at this a whole different way, Dee. It hit me. And have you ever looked at somebody and just got troubled by something that was wrong in their life? And then it grew, and it grew. Huh? Tell that to Steve. It was a little thing. But boy, we just zeroed in on that thing. You know what I mean, Dorothy? And it just grows in our mind. What's happening? The mote that's in your eye becomes a beam in my eye. Wow. How many have ever heard the expression, they made a mountain out of a molehill? That little saying all of a sudden flooded my mind right here in this verse. Spoke volumes to my heart. And what happens? That little critical spirit gets really big. Isn't that true? Yeah. And what's the problem? We're not contrite then, are we? We're not broken then. In fact, we are puffed up because we think we are better than somebody else. When in fact the Lord says, you know what? You're a hypocrite. He said, you need to get rid of the beam. You're not going to be able to help your brother until you get rid of the beam. And then notice also he says, humble. Now, a contrite spirit and a humble spirit, I believe, are almost the same thing. And often in the Word of God, when you have two words put together like that, God has really given you definitions. But let me take humility just a little bit farther. Because when I think of here the humble spirit, I have this picture in my mind. As I read definition of humble, this is the picture that came to me. And it's like we are climbing a ladder. But we're not going up. There's a hole and we're going down. We're going down beneath, where everybody lives at. It's a picture of climbing down into that hole. In other words, condescending below where others are at. My Bible says, esteem other better than ourselves. Who will He dwell with? What does He say? Who will He revive? Who does He say? Those who are contrite and those that are humble. Who will He do it with? Those kind. What will He do? He will revive us again. He gives His life to these who are drained of self. As long as it's anything about us, we are not contrite. We are not humble. And God cannot revive us. God cannot really dwell with us. You cannot truly join Him in intercessory prayer until humility. That is where self is no longer important and you surrender to His will. Jesus said, "Boy, if this thing can pass from me, Wait a minute. I surrender to God. Not my will, but thine be done. Quite frankly, there's some theological things there I don't understand. But why should I, Rosie? Because God speaks to my heart out of that. I've never met anybody that did understand it, so I guess I'm in the same ballpark with them. But this I understand. He placed Himself under the will of His Father. Think about it. The Son of God submits Himself. He is God as much as the Father, but He submits Himself. Again, don't ask me to explain that one theologically. But that's what He does. There's a revival. There's where it takes place. When you and I get out of ourselves and we allow God just to have control. It ain't going to work as long as we think we can do any of it. As long as our mind is upon ourselves. Oh, man. I look at these girls up here. You know when I was that age? You know when I was your age? In fact, you know when I was your age? How old are you? 14. Who's 16 around here? When I was your age? Who's 17? Dallas, you are not 17. 50, 17 maybe, but not 17. All right. You're 17, Steve? Okay. I think I heard it when I was 17. Can you ever remember some of your mother's words, Doc? I can remember some of the tender things. But boy, this just came to me. She'd look at me. I'd be whining about something. Somebody mistreated me. And she said to me 1,001 times plus who knows how many more. This is algebra plus X. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. I didn't know she was preparing me for the ministry. Say anything about me. Is that true? It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen. We have the privilege to dwell in the very presence of God, realizing it, understanding it, reveling in it, having that revival spirit in our hearts and lives. If I understand Isaiah chapter 57 and this verse 15, if I have what? Contrite and humble spirit. What did He say do? He'd revive it, didn't He? Because that's what God wants to use. Pride and arrogancy. We think that we have it all under control. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be transparent right now. This church floundered for 15 years because of the pride of this heart. It wasn't anybody's fault here. Oh, I blame people, but it was me. And don't come up after service say, no, it wasn't, because I know better. The arrogancy within. Oh, God, deliver us from that. God, whatever it takes to humble us, to bring us to contrition, to grind us so we're that powder that if God wants to blow us, and we spread all over the world in that beautiful picture, so be it. Lord, tonight, I pray Your work on our hearts. Lord, I said 15 years, but it's probably been more like 36. Oh, God, help us to look inwardly. We're really good at looking at others. We can see the problem in others. We have that criticalness about us, but oh God, help us be critical of ourselves. to see who we really are, to understand that without You, we are, as the Apostle Paul said, nothing but dung. Manure. Oh, thank You, Lord. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank You, Lord, with You dwelling within, You moving and You working. It is joy unspeakable. Lord, tonight, I believe we need to humble ourselves or be humbled. Lord, You've taken me through both of those. And Lord, I give You permission to keep doing it, that I might be able to have that revived, wondrous presence of God continuously and constantly work in our midst. Do that which only You can do. I pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I always stand tonight. Chris here at the piano.